This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Segment brought to you by Geneva National, Tyler Aki and Mike Gilligan. We are presented, as always, by the Glenview Park Golf Club. So I was bringing up to you before the break, you're talking about Scottie Scheffler, and we were talking about his putting and how even with those missed putts, it's almost like his iron play makes up for his putting woes that he has pretty consistently on a week-to-week basis. And the iron play is as good as it gets on tour. It's really as good as we've seen lately. But I wonder if this is going to be the thing that stands in the way of him at the Open Championship. And not just this year, but like generally at the Open Championship moving forward. And could it be the thing that stands in the way of him and winning a career Grand Slam? Is that when you go to those elements and you're dealing with that wind, and you lose a little bit of your control with that iron play, if your putting's not there, you're creating a lot of separation between you and the rest of the field. Like, that's why I always think back to, like, Cam Smith, when he was at his height. It's part of why he won the Open right before he bolted for LIV was because he was the best putter on the planet point. And
yes,
some of
the
putts that he rolled, I remember some crazy stat about the amount of feet worth of putts that he made in route to winning that Open Championship, the British Open. And I wonder if that's going to be the thing that stands in the way of him, Scottie Scheffler, and winning a career slam.
If there's going to be one event, I think it would be the Open. That would be the hardest one for him and his style of play to overcome. I think the U.S. Open really falls into more or less his sweet spot.
Yeah.
I think that's where he'll excel, and I think he'll grab a U.S. Open before he'll get the Open.
Mm-hmm. Could be in a couple weeks.
And it really could be. And if he does, boy, is there going to be a ton of interest in Ireland.
Think about that. We will have three chances at a career slam this year.
I know. So crazy. And it's not like this thing is – it's only been done six times in history. So, yeah, this is kind of a very interesting time for the PGA Tour and the people that are, you know, creating history as we speak, as we're watching it being done. But to your point, I think, you know, the person that's going to win the Open this year has got to have the ability to have a ground game as well as an aerial. I mean, you can't win over there just through the air. You have to know how to chase that ball, play low, running stingers, and the different kinds of shot that it's going to require. And you just can't fit things into spaces that you might traditionally get away with in America because they're softer greens, more receptive to receiving, you know, tight hole locations. In Europe, you have to take your medicine at times and admit the fact that, yeah, I know I'm in the hay. Yeah, I know I'm downwind. But there is no chance you're ever going to hold that green if you take it through the air. So I think that's where the Europeans truly have an advantage on that Open versus anybody from America, just because it's their style.
Right. It's always why people love the Rorys, Justin Roses, Shane Lowrys. Like, those are the guys. They're just used to it. They know how to play that style in terms of, like, dealing with those elements, because it is a different sport when you go out there. It really is.
It is, and it's one that you take the shots as they come to you. You don't just insert circle into squares. I mean, you have to give or take whatever the golf course is going to give you. And I think here in America, we're able to sort of force and just have a one-shot shape work for the most part, you know, and that's why they say certain faders of the golf ball. That's why Lee Trevino never won at, you know, Augusta. You had to draw the ball. He was always a fader of the ball. So I think the British Open is very much, or the Open, as we should say, but I like to always call it the British Open because that's where it usually is.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. It is a very, very different type of event. I do want to get to, I mentioned this earlier, but you, my friend, have really helped tweak something with my game. And just a little swing tip that you gave me while we were out doing our Better Through Birdies par three challenge. And it was just a little thing about really like getting my back to the target in my backswing. And it has really helped with my irons. I've been going to the range the last couple of weeks since you gave me that tip, and it has straightened a lot of things out. Even my misses feel a little bit better.
Yeah, I would think that your misses are going to have great strikes.
Yes.
But now the distance is pretty much going to be around the same. Now it's just a question is, did you hit it straight or did you push it or did you pull it? Early in any season, as we start to come back to the game after taking a long winter nap, for some reason, our mind tells us that when we swing our arms, that we think we've turned our back to the target. And it's just people get into a habit of just being all arms, but they think, and like you thought, you were making a full turn. And when I pointed that out to you and literally pushed your shoulder back, you started to feel then that tension down in your lower left back, because that's where the torque and the twist and the power starts to come from. So basically, you know, take a look at yourself when you go on the range. And as you warm up today, just take some nice full turns with a nice wedge and just hit some half shots, but make sure you're turning that back. And then when the back stops turning, the trick is to stop moving your arms. Because what tends to happen too is after you turn, a lot of people will still continue moving their arms and they'll actually cross the club or make it go past parallel. And then you get out of sequence. So to me, the back leads the arms coming back. And then once that back stops, so does your hand. So that's how you make your swing more compact and shorter, but it's more consistent in terms of its strike. And then the game becomes fun. And all you're now trying to do is aim it, because you know from a distance control perspective, you now are hitting it because you are coiling up in the right fashion every time. Now it's just a question of face angle.
Yeah, right. And for me too, like just kind of getting that out of that swing tweak, also getting the hand eye to come with it and, and making the proper contact as you're coming through. So yeah, I think that's, I really appreciated that swing tip, and it may completely alter my summer now.
Oh, yeah, I think it will.
But I think it's always interesting when you hear or when you're talking to people about, like, getting and we weren't on the course, per se. We were just hitting the ball for the Better Through Birdies. Some people love hearing swing tips while they're out playing around. Some people hate it while they're out playing around. They'd rather work on that during at the practice range or something like that, or in a lesson. But where have you always stood on the basis of like giving out swing tips and also receiving swing tips, like during rounds and stuff like that?
Well, for me, it really depends on the person and how much I know them.
Yeah.
Like, I've gotten to know you over the years. Yeah. I feel comfortable giving you advice just because I think you're receptive to it. But if you were like a stranger the first time we're playing together and I see that you are just suffering and really having a tough time, I will ask you first, would you mind if I give you what I think you're doing wrong to try to help make this a better day for you? And to your point, some people say no, and I'd be like, that's fine. But I just, it pains me to watch people miserable on the golf course. And I know with a little tweak or a tip here or there, if it's a tweak and we're on the golf course, I'll do it. But if it's an overhaul, no way.
Yeah.
Because if I'm going to give you a tip that's going to feel so foreign to you, then I'm not going to. But if I know, like, for example, you're an athlete and I can talk to you in this, in the way of the sports that you play, like in baseball, I could relate certain aspects of the swing to the swing of a baseball bat, and you would catch on to that. And I can also put people in the ready position who have only played volleyball in their life, because there's a universal ready position in all of sport. So I try to determine, based on your ability and how much you know about the swing and about your own swing, to determine whether or not during a round I should even give you a tip. And if it is, it's only going to be one little thing, because I don't want to give you total analysis, which leads to total paralysis for you. I just want to make sure that one little tip usually is connected to two or three other things that are going on in your swing, but you don't know that. But I know if you fix that, you're automatically fixing these three other things that I don't even have to tell you about.
Yeah.
And that's really what happened to you when you turned your back, because a lot of other things got self-corrected that we haven't even talked about.
Right.
And a lot of it is your timing.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I think, it's just the next part now that is working through that. But it's funny because trying to remember how many years ago. This was probably 2 years ago. But I had never known. I was gripping a golf club wrong the entire time. And I had had my bottom hand thumb on top of, like, running parallel when it should have been kind of tucked almost. And this guy gave me that swing tip unsolicited, didn't even ask either, but just said, hey, like, watch your, like, your thumb's got to be, like, there's a reason why, like, on the grips.
Yep.
It has, like,
why they have those designs.
Little markers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's like, because your thumb's supposed to be right there. And I was like, okay, that's helpful. But you're giving me this on the first hole, and now I'm going with a foreign grip for the next 17 holes. So, like, I appreciate it in the long term, but it's one of those things where it didn't bother me, but it was just like, this is going to feel really weird for the next 3 hours.
Yep.
Trying to acclimate to this new grip. And, like, it was something that I needed to hear. It just was an uncomfortable 3 hours.
Right. But in that particular case, if your left hand is wrong on the club, I'll point out to you what it is, and you'll probably feel, ooh, that feels weird. So what you'll want to do is hold the golf club while you're watching TV like that. Mm-hmm. Just keep re-gripping it and make it so it's comfortable like that. But if you are hitting poor shots as a result of that, I would actually try to fix and move your right hand to offset what you're doing with your left.
Interesting.
But that would just be a Band-Aid fix. That's not a long term. The long term is, in that case, the grip is something I wouldn't screw around with in the middle of a round. Unless it's just
especially the first tee.
The first tee. And I mean, especially if you're playing for any money, don't do that. But if you're among friends and nobody's behind you and you've got time, then a little playing lesson can happen. And those can be quite beneficial. And I've worked with my brothers and friends in that regard. And it's fun when you're just out there late in the evening and you can throw down a couple more balls and say, okay, how did that feel? How did this feel? And then when you're actually testing it on a fairway into a green and you see the results of now the ball stopping because you imparted spin because you actually struck the ball first and then made the divot because you made a solid turn, it's like all of a sudden magic happens.
Right.
Right. And so that makes you want to come back.
Mm-hmm. That's the beauty and the curse of the game right there. All right. When we come back, a couple of other news and nuggets from around the golf world, including a significant lottery opening up tomorrow and also Charlie Woods making some headlines as well. So all that coming up next. This segment's been brought to you by Geneva National.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app.
Been brought to you by Cog Hill Golf and Country Club, a pure golf experience. So much to get to here.
Tons.
Let's start with the Masters, all right?
All right.
For those who are unaware, and even though it is a lottery system, but we are the show of the people, so we are going to inform everyone, in case you don't know, the Masters lottery opens tomorrow. It is going to be open until June 20th. So if you are one of those people who likes to enter the lottery and then get a disappointing email in a couple months, tomorrow is when you can sign up to get that disappointing email.
Yes.
Or maybe it'll be the greatest email you ever receive in your life, too.
But I know people that have gotten that friendly one.
Oh, yeah.
It does happen. And so it is a general lottery. It's just, we're probably upsetting a lot of people who probably think this was the best kept secret in the world. But you're right. We are a man of the people.
We're just trying to like infuse a little karma
into our
entries for tomorrow.
But yeah, you got to give it away to get it back.
Exactly. What goes around comes around. But anyway, yeah, that opens up tomorrow.
I hope you or me win so that we can go down there together. Yeah. We have to go next year. We just have to.
I'm hoping so. And sometimes people say the best day to go, like everyone's always going to like, oh, I want the Sunday tickets. But sometimes the best time to go is practice rounds.
Practice rounds. And I honestly, Thursday or Friday, I'll take over Saturday, Sunday.
You get a full
field. You get the full field.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the people are more spread out. It's easier to get around. Mm-hmm. It's just...
feels like a more full day.
It really does. It does. And there's more players. There's just more entertainment.
Yeah. I'm with you. I think that's certainly a lot of fun there.
Well, good luck to everybody.
Yep. Good luck to everyone out there. And hey, if you end up winning...
Tell us.
Call us back in July when you find out. We'd love to hear from you then. Another story here. Did you see the chaotic scorecard from Charlie Woods at the AJGA Invitational out at Streamsong?
He had quite a card.
8 birdies, 2 bogeys. Also had a double and a triple in there as well. Like it was all over the place. a lot of shapes on that scorecard, but Charlie Woods. Wins his first career AJGA title.
And for those who don't know, there are junior golf associations within each state. So we do have the Illinois Junior Golf Association. This is the American Junior Golf Association. So when you get too good and too big for your own state, you then begin to travel. And so these are the most elite 16-year-old players that we have in the United States that are traveling around the circuit and playing. So this is a big, big win for Charlie. Yeah. And, you know, having to live in the shadow, obviously, of the GOAT being your father, this is going to be interesting to see how he matures, how he fills out physically, mm-hmm. and what kind of player he turns out to be when he gets to the college level. And, you know, a lot of eyes on him, and it's just got to be a tough way to grow up.
I mean, you just think about like Bronny James too.
Yeah.
Like just
the expectations.
Right. Or Marcus Jordan when he was at Whitney Young here in uh-huh. the city. Like the expectation that's placed on you is
I feel
crazy.
Bad for him, but you know, he seems to relish in the moment. He has a lot of obviously his dad's charisma, especially when he's with the media. Yeah. So he's a pretty polished 16-year-old golfer for sure. But yeah, it'd be interesting, and it would be great for the game if he could really take his game to the professional level and actually make it to the tour. But, you know, people think, oh, well, he's a Woods. It's just automatically going to happen. No, it won't.
No, in fact, it won't.
Jack Nicklaus had all kinds of sons, and none of them made it.
I mean, more often than not, the superstar's kid doesn't make it.
Yep.
In any sport, like very rarely. Is there a bona fide superstar whose child ends up making it?
100%.
This also tomorrow, not only or not tomorrow,
Monday,
I should say, is the longest day in golf as the U.S. Open qualifying sites across the country as players try to qualify. And you were bringing it up during the break, and I noticed this too when you sent your note last night. Boy, Kinsale Golf and Fitness Club tomorrow. That could be its own tour stop, it feels like. You've got Ricky Fowler, Padre Harrington, Max Homa, Matt Kuchar. Like, that's your group that's out there tomorrow. I mean, a handful of legitimately talented guys who are going out there, and they have to qualify for the U.S. Open.
Yeah, and, you know, there are going to be some high school players, you know, stepping up and looking at, you know, Mark Leishman or... you know, Ryan Fox or Keith Mitchell at your qualifier. But if you're at, you know, like the one you just mentioned, Kinsdale, that thing's got 6 tour players. If you are a high school or a collegiate player and they're only going to take like 2 or 3 spots, you've got to be going up there with, how is this going to happen?
it's pretty crazy what the rest of the competition or just the fact that that's the spot for all those guys. The other one that caught my eye, too, was Emerald Dunes. You've got Blades Brown, the young phenom, yep. You've got Neil Shipley, who was the low am at the Masters a couple years ago. Graham McDowell, Bryce Garnett. Like, that's another quality spot where you've got guys trying to qualify there.
Oh, 100%. And I want to watch Neil Shipley closely because he is a Pittsburgh kid. Mm-hmm. If he makes this open, it is going to be wild at Oakmont to follow that group.
Yeah. Great player, too.
Oh, he's a great player. He's just a great guy.
I mean, and he caught a lot of hearts, too, in full swing.
Yes, he did.
Everyone's been that guy.
Yeah.
Everyone has been the Neil Shipley.
Yep. And a lot of us can relate to Neil Shipley that we used a case of beer as a table.
Yep. Exactly.
For our game controllers. And
it's all about being resourceful.
Yeah. It's all, yep.
And smarter, not harder.
Yep. That's what they teach at Ohio State, I guess. So, he is an excellent player. I just hope for the sake of the event and the community in Pittsburgh that he makes it so they have their hometown kid to cheer for, because let's face it, the Pittsburgh Pirates haven't given the folks of Pittsburgh anything to cheer about this season. So,
not at all. And then this other note from the PGA Tour, this was very significant. The PGA Tour announced this week that this season, so you'll see this in August.
Oh, yeah.
The PGA Tour is eliminating starting strokes from their format at the Tour Championship. And I know this was a big deal. A lot of people were against the starting strokes for going into that final event out at Eastlake in Atlanta. For me, I don't know how you felt. I don't think the problem was that starting strokes existed. I think the problem was how many that were given out.
Yeah.
You're starting the – so for those who are unfamiliar with it, when you go into the Tour Championship, there's 30 players, and they kind of flight you to a degree where the number one player by FedEx Cup points going into that final round starts with a 10-stroke advantage. So you basically have eliminated everyone who is not getting a stroke advantage, which is still a decent sum. You're basically eliminating anyone who's getting less than a 4-stroke start.
Pretty much.
And I because you're not only is, in this case, Scottie Scheffler getting a 10-stroke head start, but it's Scottie Scheffler, too. It's not just that it's a 10-stroke start. It's that it's a 10-stroke start, and it's Scottie Scheffler, the number one player in the world, that has that advantage. Now, I think that there should be something to reward these guys for the regular season that they had. I almost liken it to being how you get home court in the playoffs or something like that for the top teams, or some sort of advantage like that, a home field advantage, if you will. But to me, it didn't need to be 10. Maybe you started at 5,
right,
and work your way down to 0. That was, to me, always the way that I felt about having the tour play. 10 is egregious, but if you maybe trim it down to 5, maybe you can stretch it to 6. I don't know. I'd have to look into it a little bit more, but that would be the one thing. I don't think this needs everyone starting from 0 here.
Yeah, I mean, it's to a degree, the FedEx race and all of that, it's like the President's Trophy in the NHL. Mm-hmm. You have the best regular season record and you win this beautiful little trophy, right?
Yeah.
And so Scotty is picking up major paychecks as he keeps winning, and so he's getting the points, and he should be recognized as the best player for the rest of the season. But to your point, when it comes to the playoffs, you know, Scotty, when he gets to Eastlake or to the final stop, 10 strokes is far too much. It to me, it takes a field of 30 and reduces it down to about 12. Maybe even 8.
Yeah.
And I do think there should be a bit of an advantage for having that type of performance. And maybe the top 5 guys each get a shot. You know, he gets 5, he gets 4, he gets 3. Because I think there's a given number that people will always say anybody within 4 shots, 5 shots, or even 6 has a chance to win. That seems to be the mantra on that final day. So let's use 6 then, you know, but you've got to keep the field in it. And having them go to absolutely no, you know, shots at all and just keeping it like just a regular another event of 30 guys, Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. But again, it's anybody's game. And at this point, you're not really assuring yourself having Scotty in the mix at the end. I mean, if he has a bad week, he's out. If he has a bad week with a 10-shot lead, he still has a chance because you see what a bad week looks like for him. Mm-hmm. I think from the they did this in response to the fan experience, and I do think they're on to something. They do need to take the shots away. I don't know if they'd take them all away because, you know, when you're doing team sports and you're winning in the playoffs, the best teams are in the championship. So if you really want the best players to be in the hunt on Sunday, you still have to stagger the start, I think, a little bit in favor of those that perform. But I don't think it needs to cascade to take out half the field. I think the entire field still needs to be eligible to win, but there should be a little bit of, hey, because you are the best and you proved it, you are in the number one seeded spot.
Yeah. Like you, I feel like you could end up seeing some weird winners out of this.
Oh, definitely could.
Like, I'm trying to think of the best. It's almost like the NCAA tournament in basketball to me, where it's like the best team does not always win it because it's probably the toughest trophy in all of sports to win because it's one and done.
Yeah.
And it's not like football, where football as a sport, as a whole, can be like, it's really tough to upset a team, and it's really tough to upset a team three or four times over the course of a football playoff. Whereas golf, it's anyone's game. I mean, you could just find a heater for 4 days. And while I think there should be a reward to that, like, I don't know if it necessarily means that we should be crowning you the champion of the entire season through the FedEx Cup.
Because what could possibly happen is, let's say you're 74th. Mm-hmm. You make the playoffs.
Yeah.
You have a nice event. You make it into the top 50. You've now moved up. And let's say you just squeak in at number 29 or 30, and you make it. But then you have the week of all weeks, and then you win it.
Yeah.
Now, are you truly – I mean, you started the playoffs in 74th.
Yeah.
I mean, are you truly the FedEx Cup Player of the Year? Does that make you Player of the Year? Or is it just – you won $10 million that week.
Yeah.
You had the week of your life, and it's the greatest payday you'll ever see. So it's a dynamic problem the PGA Tour has to try to make this thing really work. This is where you start to wonder, is this where and how team sports now starts to make its play if the LIV and PGA do come together? Mm-hmm. Because what I feel like they're trying to do is apply team sport logic to individual sport play. Mm-hmm. And it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Because to your point, you could have a Daniel Berger is the final winner at the end of the year.
Right.
And Daniel Berger did what yesterday?
What does that do to the needle? Yeah. Right.
Like, doesn't do a thing.
Right.
Exactly. And I think that's the fear mm-hmm. of the PGA Tour right now.
Yep. All right. When we come back, we will get you an update what's taking place at the Memorial, also the U.S. Women's Open, as well as they're back underway after a little bit of a weather delay out in Erin Hills. And we'll get to your phone calls as well, 312-332-3776. This segment has been brought to you by Cog Hill Golf and Country Club.
This is the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, ESPN 1100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
This segment brought to you by Republic Bank, Tyler Ocke and Mike Gilligan. If you missed any part of today's show, it was a fun first hour where we were going through, people were giving out their stories of getting hit by golf balls or hitting other people with golf balls on the course after Mike was hit this week in the chest. Fourth time, you said, right?
Fourth time.
Fourth time it's been happening.
Yeah. Not although, in the chest, just not, fourth
yeah,
time,
just fourth
I've,
time
been
you've been hit. Yeah. So, but yeah, that, so if you missed any of that, check it out on the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app or wherever you get your podcasts. Giving you guys an update now, what's taking place at the Women's U.S. Open as well as the Memorial Tournament. Start with the U.S. Open. Mao Saigo at 8-under is your leader right now, 70 and 66 for her. And then Nelly Korda at 5-under in a cluster of six other golfers. But she's the headliner there, 5-under right now after going 72-67 yesterday. So a strong, strong round out of Nelly, and she is looking for her U.S. Open championship.
She is, and there's a lot of Americans that are, you know, up close to the top of the leaderboard, which is obviously great to see. But there's one American in particular, aside of Nelly, that I'm keeping an eye on, because I don't know if you heard what happened to Amari Avery. She's had quite a week up at Erin Hills. It all started, she played in the first round, and she shot 1-under. So she goes back to her house that she rented for the week. Her boyfriend is in town. In the middle of the night, they heard somebody trying to break into the house. It alarmed them such to the extent that they packed everything up, put their clubs into their travel bags, packed up their suitcases, and went somewhere else to stay. They grabbed a hotel or whatever they did. Her boyfriend, Gavin, had a tournament the next day in Los Angeles. So when he got up, he picked up his travel bag. They both played for the University of Southern California's golf team, which means they both have the same travel bags.
Yeah.
He picked up her clubs.
Oh, boy.
And flew to LA. She wakes up, grabs her bag, gets to the course, and realizes she's got her boyfriend's clubs, which are far too stiff and yep. too strong. What do you do? Well, fortunately for her, she had her teammate, Gabriella Ruffles, who had an early morning tea time. Once she finished, she went up to her teammate and said, "Can I use your clubs and your bag, your balls, your tees, and maybe a glove?" She didn't even have a hat. So the teammate took her hat off of her head and put it on her head. So she went out. That equipment came right off of 18 and went right to the first tee, and out she went yesterday. Play was suspended last night. She was on the 15th hole, and she was 1-under yesterday with a foreign set of golf clubs.
Yeah.
So she had to get up this morning to finish. Now, the problem is Gabriella missed the cut. Now, Gabriella probably wants to get out of Dodge.
Yep.
But her clubs still need to finish that round, because even though her clubs may have arrived last night or this morning, she can't change the clubs until she completes her second round.
Yeah.
So anyway, she ended up making a couple of bogeys this morning coming in, but she stands at even par, tied for 34th. Rumor has it her clubs have arrived safely, and she should be able to finish the weekend with them. But how about that? You're going to play four rounds, three with your clubs and another set that in bag and balls and everything else. And
yeah.
still to have the mental fortitude to still go around and keep it right at par and play well. This is a great story.
That's, yeah, I mean, that's incredible. Like, you think about just if you have to use someone else's clubs, even if it's like a... In the case of this, where it's like USC probably provided the clubs or something like that.
Yeah, but like, except they were the same brand, but like your hand, your grip
right.
size, the type of grip, the shaft.
Yeah.
You know, where your swing speed and my swing speed might be a little bit different.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, when you start playing at the game at this level, those little things are big things.
Yeah.
And to have the ability to overcome, because a lot of us could have easily just taken the excuse, well, I've got the excuse, these aren't my clubs, so if I play bad, which probably is going to happen. But no, she went ahead and made lemonade right out of these lemons.
Yeah. So good for her. That's a really cool story, and she has made it to the weekend as well. I did notice this too. The missed cut list at the U.S. Women's Open.
Oh, yeah.
Incredible group that is not seeing the weekend. Rose Zhang, Asterisk Tally, the amateur.
Yep.
You had Lexi Thompson, who you pointed out to me is in her 19th U.S. Open, and she is 30 years old.
Think about that. She played when she was 11.
Yeah.
And she missed one in those 19 years.
It's incredible.
So she played when she was 11 years old.
Brooke Henderson also missing the cut.
I can't believe Brooke.
It is a who's who on the miss cut list.
It really is. And again, that just goes to show you the power of these big time major championship sites like an Erin Hills.
Yeah.
It is it is just difficult golf. The sternest test these ladies are ever going to see.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. All right. On the Memorial side of things, they are underway out at Jack's Place. Actually, no, not underway yet. They will be. Yes, they are underway, in fact. But the leader right now is Nick Taylor. He's scheduled to tee off. Co-leaders, I should say. Nick Taylor and Ben Griffin. They are scheduled to tee off at 2:10 later on today. You've got Akshay Bhatia in third at 5-under. Scottie Scheffler, 4-under in fourth. Sam Burns, Shane Lowry, Jordan Spieth all tied for fifth at 3-under. And then a good group in the 2-under tied for eighth grouping here. You've got Tom Hoagie, Russell Henley, Xander Schauffele, and Colin Morikawa. So good leaderboard out at Muirfield right now, and just hopefully the weather holds up out there.
Yeah, and looking at the early scores that are out there, the golf course looks like it's playing pretty tough, which means that plays more into the hands of Scotty than ever before.
I'm seeing one player under par, and it's Johnny Vegas.
And that's it. So, yeah, they either have tough conditions, the course is set up tougher than it's been. But this does favor Scotty in a big way. But, Justin Rose had quite the round yesterday. He went from 78 to 66, and then Justin Thomas did almost the same type of thing with an 81-69. But these guys made the cut. And how about Justin Rose shooting 78? The 66 puts him tied for 12th. So who knows? Yeah. I mean, this is going to be an interesting weekend, but, I think it's going to be Scotty's show again.
I'm with you. Like, you've left the door open too much.
Yep.
With the, and you haven't, if no one's going to take advantage of Scotty missing the putts that he missed, like it's, you find yourself in a tough spot.
And he's the undeniable odds to win.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Three strokes back.
Yeah. The guy that's in first is plus 600. Scotty's plus 175, and he's three
incredible.
Back.
That's, it is incredible.
That's amazing.
Yeah, the two guys who are currently co-leaders in this event both have won on the tour before.
Yeah.
Now, they haven't won elevated events, but they've both won on the tour before, and it's not like this is some foreign concept of, oh, what's it going to feel like on Sunday for these guys. No, they've been there, done that.
Yeah, and I mean, like, if you're Akshay Bhatia, you're 5-under, two back, one ahead of Scottie Scheffler. But you're plus 1,000.
Yeah.
So the odds maker are not Akshay Bhatia fans.
No, not at all. We are here
yes,
on the show.
Yes, we are very much fans.
But yeah, no, it's crazy. Like, it shows you the run that he's on right now. And when it's good, it's good. And it has been awesome for Scottie Scheffler as of late. Real quick before we go around the CDGA, Jim's in Antioch. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Hi, guys. Hey, I'm playing Prestige Isle, that 13th hole. Is all trees, so we ended up all over the place. I'm on the green first. My ball gets hit. Ooh. You're supposed to put it about where you were.
Correct.
Put it down, turn my back, gets hit a second time.
No way.
Hard to believe. Hard to believe. It's not, you know, it's not a million to one. I don't know what it'd be to have a foursome and your ball gets hit within 10 seconds of each other.
Well, I hope you went out and bought a lottery ticket.
Yeah.
Well, as a matter of fact, I bought one today for a different reason.
What's the reason?
We'll see.
Okay.
Well,
you can't win unless you play.
409 came up at the supermarket, so I played my number, 409.
All right.
There you go.
There you go.
Have a good day.
You too.
As well. Listen, it's a funny sport, man. It'll do that. But two
times.
It was funny. Shay and I were talking about this morning. There's the kid in Toronto, and he had a home run ball coming his way, and he dropped it. And then the next batter, home run ball coming his way, and he caught it. It's like most people never get one going their way. He got two and two batters.
Oh, that is amazing. I want to know what seat that is, because I've always wondered at the ballparks, like, if you could take all the statistics of every single foul ball in the history of Wrigley Field, what seat has the most?
Yeah. I'm sure there's data out there to some
like,
degree, or at least like modern data.
Yeah, there's probably a seat or an area or a section that gets the most by far.
Yeah.
But I'd love to know where that is.
Yep. All right, when we come back, we will go around the CDGA. This segment's been brought to you by Republic Bank.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Thank you to Jake Santos for producing today's show. Catch anything that you missed on the podcast, CDGA Golf Show podcast, available on the ESPN Chicago app or wherever you get your podcasts. At this time, every single show, we go around the CDGA. What do we have this week, Mike?
Well, we got a few things cooking. A lot of member perks because June is just around the corner, literally. Yeah. And a lot of our partners have really stepped up to the plate. Some of our fun venues in the area, like Bloomingdale, if you live out in that area, CDGA members, Monday to Friday. Anytime and after 11 on the weekends, you get $5 off an 18-hole round and three off of a 9-hole round. If you go on out to Oswego, to Fox Bend, Lou offers Monday to Friday all CDGA members a $90 twosome rate that includes golf carts. So go on out that way. That is the home of the Adaptive Open, the Chicago Adaptive Open later this month, which is going to be exciting as all get out. We have a full field, so folks in Oswego are going to be great hosts there. Up north, Glenview Park's got a twosome for $129.95 with a cart, and that's available Monday to Thursday, but it does exclude June 19th. And then lastly, Palatine Hills, Dan Hotchkin and company have a $110 rate for two players, Tuesday through Thursday from 11 to 1:30. So there's some value and some savings out there, and some really quality venues to go play golf. And then if you want to travel, say a little, take a weekend or go on out to the, out of state, head on up to Tullymore. They are great partners of ours. They've got a special a rate of $229, and that includes 18 holes of golf at Tullymore, 18 holes of golf at St. Ives, a Tuesday night taco dinner, and an overnight stay. So that's quite a deal. And they have some great, great golf courses up at Tullymore. So give them an opportunity. Look into that. Go to Tullymore.com. And then lastly, if you want to be a part of the CDGA, play in the U.S. Open fantasy golf that's coming, take advantage of some of the savings that we have on your online CDGA golf shop, or, you know, use your discounts and benefits throughout various partners, companies, and organizations that all step up to the plate. You can get all of that in your June magazine that I think just arrived to everybody's home this past week. I'm holding it up here. But go to cdga.org and click on membership and sign up and join close to 120,000 of your closest friends and become part of a great golfing community. And it's only $50. And right there, I just showed you a couple of interesting ways where you can save some bucks. So
right.
Being a CDGA member pays for itself.
Yep. And what you always bring up, the one of the best ways to basically make this thing pay for itself is if you want one of those indoor putting greens.
Yes.
Big Moss. I mean, done. Pretty much one and done.
Yep. We had one or two people did that at the golf show. They came in specifically and bought a few Big Moss greens from Tony at the golf show at the Rosemont Convention Center. And I have people who tell me all the time when they go to either Tour Edge, get a wedge, get a putter, get a driver. You get a driver and you easily paid for it.
Or even just the golf ball savings,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, golf balls. You buy enough golf balls through us, there you go.
Buy enough golf balls, buy enough Jersey Mike's,
that's
all
it.
That. Like,
yeah.
It all ends up
fill you with
itself.
Golf balls and food.
There you go. That should be your new motto or slogan or something like that. Got to get Casey on that.
There you go.
All right. Well, it's going to be a beautiful week, beautiful weekend. Hopefully the rain holds off for anyone who may be out and playing today or this week. I mean, it truly feels like the start of summer is here. That means you're going to see a lot more cars in the parking lots at a lot of these courses across the Chicagoland area.
Yeah, they had, the normal temperature today is normally high is 78. We're going to be at 68. But that all changes on Monday, yep. And the heater goes up, and I do think summer is finally arriving.
Yep. All right. Well, that is going to do it for us. Again, if you missed anything, check it out on the CDGA Golf Show podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, including the ESPN Chicago app, which you can download onto your phone, take us on the go, take us on the course even if you want to. Hook us up to those new Bluetooth speakers that all these carts have nowadays. Yeah. So that's going to do it for us. We will talk to you next week and get you ready for the U.S. Open 2 weeks away.
Can't wait.
All that coming up next week. So cannot wait to talk to you guys then. Peggy and Dion is coming up next. This segment brought to you by French Lick Golf Resort.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.